Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Good evening tonight and welcome to Out of a Pure Heart Ministries. This is your hostess, Elder Evangelist Teresa Scott. Hallelujah, glory to God, hallelujah. Well, I'm excited on tonight, hallelujah, waiting for some people to pop in. They haven't popped in yet, but guess what, glory to God. We're going to go on anyway, hallelujah, and do what thus saith the Lord, hallelujah. And tonight we just want to go before the throne of grace and just give God a thank you for allowing us to have another day, hallelujah, because he didn't have to do it, but he did, hallelujah, glory to God. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come to you tonight asking you first, Father, to forgive us for our sins and our shortcomings in the name of Jesus. Father God, anything that we've said or done today, Lord God, or thought, Lord God, that was not right, that was not pleasing to you, I ask your forgiveness in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Father, I just want to say I bless your name. I want to thank you for your goodness and your mercy. I want to thank you for your grace and your love, Lord God. I want to thank you, oh God, because we're here today because of your grace. We're here today because of your mercy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. For if it had not been for you on our side, Lord God, where would we be? Where would we be? But, Father, I just want to say thank you tonight. I want to bless your name. I want to give you praise, oh God, because you have truly blessed me. You blessed me with life. You blessed me with health. You blessed me with strength, Lord God. You blessed me with a home. You blessed me with a job, Lord God. You blessed me, Lord God, with a spouse who loves you, Lord God. And I just want to say thank you, Lord God, for your goodness and your mercy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, I thank you, Lord God. I thank you. I bless your holy name. Hallelujah. And I give you praise in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, I just want to say thank you, Lord God. I bless you, Father. I bless you. I bless you. I bless you, hallelujah, for you are truly worthy, Lord God. You are truly, truly worthy of the praise, hallelujah, glory to God. And, Father, I just want to dedicate this night to you, Lord God, to thank you for what you've done, Lord God. I want to thank you for what you've done, not only for me, Lord God, but for those who are joining us, Lord God, for those, Lord God, throughout the world, Lord God, who you have just blessed. Lord God, those that you have blessed with life, with health, with, Lord God, things that they've asked you for, Lord, for saving our families, Lord God, for saving us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we just want to say thank you on tonight, Lord God. We just want to bless your name and give you praise. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hi, Bishop Scott. You on the phone?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. We just want to, you know, talk about God's goodness on tonight because guess what? He is so worthy to be praised. He is worthy. And it doesn't matter what it looks like or what it sounds like, what it feels like, what the people say, God is still worthy of all praise. Amen. Hallelujah. And you and I, if nobody else don't know God is good, we know, hallelujah, that God is good because he is keeping us. He has kept us. He has been blessing us. Hallelujah. And he's just never failed. God never fails. He never fails, no matter what it looks like. God never fails, hallelujah. And I like what my husband said, if there's any shortcomings, it's not in God, it's in us. If there's any failings, it's not in God, it's us. God never fails, hallelujah. God never fails, hallelujah. God never fails. He never ceases to amaze us. He never stops being God. On no day of the week, God will never stop being God. Do you hear what I'm saying? He will never stop being God. On no day of the week, God will never stop being God. He is just going to be God Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday again, Monday again. He is going to still be God, and there's nothing we can do about it. He is God. Hallelujah. And guess what? He says he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hallelujah. But God is just awesome. God is just, he is just, I don't, what kind of words would you use to try to describe God, honey?
What kind of word would I describe God?
Yeah.
To me, he's my all in all. He's my, he guides me. He directs me. He leads me in a straight path. When I would go wrong, He brings me back into the knowledge of his presence, and he welcomes me when I do go wrong, because there's been times I have fallen short of his expectations of me and his desires for me. But I'm so glad that his mercy and his grace still pleads our case, and I'm so glad that that his son died for my sin. And I don't take that for granted. I don't take that lightly. I don't take that as an opportunity to continue in sin, but I take it really almost as a challenge. If someone loved me that much, if someone cared about me that much, how can I not try to do all that I can do to be all that he requires me to be?
Amen. And some things, you know, that I just want us to do on tonight that's a little bit different. I want to look up the word because we say some things about God. I just want to see what these words actually mean. We say he's an incredible God. Let's see what incredible means. You know, he's an incredible God. Let's see what that word means. Well, a lot of times we say things, and sometimes we say things. Hey, Brother Dennis, thank you for joining us tonight. If you have a testimony that you'd like to give us, you can call us at area code 323-693-3054. Hallelujah. We're over there on Spreecast, too. Yes, I see your hallelujah over there. Glory to God. Mama, look up the definition called incredible. And I'm looking at it now, and the adjective of that word, incredible, is too extraordinary and improbable to be believed. Too extraordinary and improbable to be believed. Or amazing, extraordinary, okay? So this is what we're saying about God, okay? Some synonyms, fantastic, implausible, inconceivable, incredulous, unbelievable. Unbelievable. Okay, and sometimes God does some things that's just unbelievable. It blows our mind. I don't know about you, but sometimes God does some things that actually blows my mind. Brother Dennis is on this, babe. You guys see this. He got the adjective impossible to believe, an incredible take of triumph. He says difficult to believe, extraordinary. The noise was incredible. Yeah, see, he right on it. He put it in there real quick. And Brother Dennis, says you in the chat room, what are some words that you would use to describe God and what he's been to you? What are some words that you would use to describe God? Because tonight is supposed to be Testimony Wednesday, and we just want to talk about God and the goodness that he's been to us. So what word would you describe personally to use about God and who he's been in your life? I'm doing Spreecast at the same time. If you can chat and give us some understanding of who God is to you and how you would describe God. Brother Dennis said it's a waste of time because his mind can't comprehend. His mind can't comprehend who God is. I mean, can our minds, honey, really comprehend who God is?
I don't think it can, not really.
Mm-mm.
Are there any words to describe the unexplainable, the indescribable?
No, and I know.
Explain the infinite, the one who was, is, and always will be. Is there a word for that? Is there a word of one who totally satisfies us so that there's no more want and no more need in our spirit? Is there a word for that? Wonderful is not good enough. Marvelous is not good enough. Incredible is not good enough. Extraordinary is not good enough. He's all of that and so much more. That's why he says about himself, tell them when Moses asks, who shall I say sent me? He didn't say send, tell them that the master of the Lord, just tell them that the I am that I am.
Mm.
The I am that I am. And in the book of John, Yahshua, Jesus, describes himself in many terms, but the main term he describes himself in is I am. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the water. I'm the well. I'm the door. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the light. I'm the good shepherd.
The good shepherd.
I am. He is to be.
Yes, he is.
That'll edify our lives and encourage our hearts. He's that and so much more. When we're in pain, he eases the pain. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He is our Jehovah Shalom, our peace. He is our Jehovah Rapha, our banner. He's all of that and so much more.
And so much more.
Are there words to describe who he is? There certainly is no one word that describes who he is. And just when you think you've You said them all. There's another word that can be used. Just when you think you exhausted all of the dictionary's definitions, there's another word that can be found somewhere else, maybe in some other language that describes them even the deeper, even the more. That's why sometimes the word tells us we really can't talk to him. We really can't address him. That's why the Holy Spirit has to give utterance on our behalf. Because these finite words that we use, these words that have a limit in scope, these words that have a limit in definition, these words that have a limit in usage, are not enough to fully describe who he is. Only the heavenly language can really appreciate who really God is in our lives. I don't think we can really fully appreciate who God is. For we've never experienced who God is, really, in his fullness. We've never had a relationship. I don't care whether it's husband or wife, mother or daughter, mother or father, son or daughter. It doesn't matter. Best friend forever, whoever the relationship is that we have, they still don't fill the void like he can. I heard this morning someone was saying that when she gets to heaven, that she would hate not to see her mother and her grandmother and her friends and those that she's met blog talk and those that she's met on blog radio and others that she met along the way. And I say that, yes, I want my mother to be there. Yes, I expect my grandparents to be there. Yes, I want my father to meet me there. But if they're not there, my heart will still be satisfied because they're only temporary fillers to what my heart really wants, really longs for, the relationship my heart and my spirit really desires, and that's a full, complete relationship with God through his son, Yahshua, by way of the Holy Spirit. If I can see Christ face to face, I'll be satisfied. I'll be satisfied. Because I can see my mother, but, I'm going to tell you the truth. If I saw my mother and she blocked my way of seeing the Lord, I'd just say, Mother, can you step aside just for a moment? Because I got to see the one my heart's been yearning to see all these many years. My Lord and my Savior. I want to see him. I want to hear him. I want to feel him. I want to be like that woman who touched the hem of his garment. I want to be able to touch the hem of his garment.
Yes, and be made whole.
And be made whole.
Be made whole then, hallelujah.
Get whole.
Glory to God.
A little bit of his virtue to pour from him into me and be made whole again.
Amen.
Won't that be a day?
It sure will, hallelujah. I'm telling you, I'm really excited about that. And I want to say good evening to Zaki Asin. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. From Nigeria, joining us tonight in the chat room along with Brother Dennis. Hallelujah, glory to God. And I just want to read some Bible verses to you guys, if you don't mind. Numbers 23, verse 19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor is the son of man that he should repent. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? That's who God is. He's not a man. God is not like us. Okay, he's not like us. He's not a man that he should lie. God will not lie. God is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And, he can't swear by nobody but himself. He is God. He is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. He is just God. And I remember when I was young, and I still do it now. But I remember when I was young, though, I used to try to think about who God was and how did he become God? Where did he come from? How did he exist? Who is he that he would just appear and just be God and then make us? You know, who is this God person? I was like, wow. And I remember I did it so long that I actually got a headache because I kept trying to figure out who is God? Who is this person called God? Never figured it out because our finite minds will never know who God is. We will never, not in our human being, but in the spirit, when we see him, oh, my God, what a day it's going to be. What a day that's going to be. Wow, I can't even imagine. We just can't even imagine in our finite minds what it's going to be like to see God, to actually see this God that we've been talking about down here on this earth, to actually see this God who we've been saying we've been praising all the time and who we've been striving to live for, this same God, what's it going to be like to see him face to face? Those of us that are living right, I'm saying, those of us that are trying to live holy, those of us that are striving to live right, what's it going to be like? Can you just imagine, can you just close your eyes and just imagine what glory is going to be able to see him face to face? Oh, my gosh. I can't even, it's too much. It's too much to even try to consider. It's too much to even try to understand who this God is that we talk about so much, this God who we read about so much in the Bible, this God who has blessed us, who had, when we called out to him and he answered us, this God who kept us safe from danger, seen and unseen, this same God who delivered us from dangers over and over and over again, this same God who, when we cried in the midnight hour, he comforted us. He answered our prayer. He made us feel better. That God, the invisible God who we can't see now, just imagine seeing him one day. Woo, Lord, have mercy, God. That should be reason for us to just strive to live right every day, just to be able to see him, just to be able to see him face to face, not shrink away from him in shame, but to be able to see the master, to see him, to see God. Oh, man, what a day that's going to be. What a day, what a day, what a day. Lord, have mercy. Deuteronomy 3:24 says, O sovereign Lord, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your strong hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do the deeds and mighty works that you do? O sovereign Lord. Deuteronomy 4:24 says, for the Lord our God is a consuming fire. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. He's a consuming fire. He's a jealous God. That's who he is. He said, as I heard my husband speaking, I believe it was this morning, and he was saying, you know, the Ten Commandments say that thou shalt have no other God before me. The first five commandments talk about our attitude towards God, and then the second half of the Ten Commandments talk about our attitudes towards each other. But God says, thou shalt have no other God before me. Nothing else should come before him. There should be no other God. Whether it's a God you made with your hands, whether it's a God that you worship, your money, a person, your job, I mean, whatever it is, there shall be no God before me, he said. And we know back in antiquity they were making gods. They were, you know, making calves and all kind of other gods that they made with their own hands or whatever. But God said, thou shalt have no other God before me. He is God. Hallelujah. And he wants us to trust him. He wants us to love him. He wants us to serve him. He wants us to worship him, not things and people. He wants us to worship him. That's what he wants. That's the God that we want to talk about. That's the God that we want to serve, the true and living God, sovereign God, that God who's a consuming fire. And we forget that God is a consuming fire. As we talk about this grace and mercy of the New Testament, and we're under the dispensation of grace and mercy. But it says, for the Lord your God is a consuming fire. A consuming fire. But here's another scripture, Deuteronomy 4 and verse 31, the same chapter. It says, for the Lord your God is a merciful God. He's a merciful God. He will not abandon or destroy you or forget the covenant with your forefathers, which he confirmed to them by oath. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. We done called him sovereign. We done called him a consuming fire. Now we're calling him a merciful God. Hallelujah. Merciful God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Merciful. Merciful God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's enough to praise him for right there. Just because he's merciful. Let's look up the word merciful. Let's just look up the word merciful. Amen. Greetings, guest 4541. Thank you for joining us tonight. we want to look up the word merciful, because, again, we use words and sometimes we just don't fully know what they mean. But let's look up merciful. Merciful, showing or exercising mercy, the will of a merciful God that all should be saved. Okay? Coming as a mercy. Coming as a mercy. Let's look at, see if we can get a little bit merciful, full of mercy, compassionate, providing relief. God, you are a merciful God. You do provide relief. You provide relief when my body is in pain. You provide relief when I need a financial assistance. You provide relief, Lord God, when I'm going through something in my life. You provide relief, and you're compassionate to me. You're compassionate, and His compassion never fails. Hallelujah. Brother Dennis, you got another word for merciful over there? Hallelujah. Honey, you got another word for merciful? Hallelujah. Merciful. God is merciful.
Means that, to me, it means that we don't receive from Him what we deserve to receive from Him.
Because of He's compassionate.
We deserve hellfire. We deserve condemnation. We deserve judgment with no mercy.
We should have been on the cross.
Exactly.
Not Jesus.
Only begotten Son, not perfect man, but we who are far from perfect man should have been hanging on the cross.
Yes.
Because the sin was ours to pay, not for Him to pay.
Not for Him to pay.
But He decided to pay it anyhow.
He obeyed the Father and paid the price for us anyway.
Yes, He did.
Because of His compassion.
Because of his mercy,
His obedience to the Father. And yes, He was in the Garden of Eden, and He was saying,
Gethsemane?
And I'm sorry, I said the Garden of Eden, the Garden of Gethsemane.
There too.
But He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and He was like, Father, if this cup can pass for me, if it be possible that this cup can pass for me, but nevertheless, not my will. Nevertheless, not my will. Nevertheless, I'm going to go and I'm going to hang on that cross for them. Nevertheless, I'm going to go and I'm going to allow them. I'm going to allow myself to be crucified. I'm going to lay my life down for them. Hallelujah. And Brother Dennis put in there, showing or exercising mercy. Showing or exercising mercy. Bringing someone relief from something unpleasant. Coming as a mercy. Bringing someone relief from something unpleasant. And that's who God is. God brings us relief all the time. He's compassionate towards us. God loves us so much. If you just sit there and think about what John 3:16 means and see the compassion of God, see the mercy of God for us right there in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son for us. That whosoever, that means you, them, over there, in this country, in another country, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He didn't say we had to die and go to the cross. He sent His Son. He sent His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish. That's a compassionate God right there. That's a compassionate God. That's a God full of mercy, that He would send His only Son to go to the cross and die for us. And I know we're talking about tonight, it's supposed to be testimony night, but we want to talk about the goodness of God and who He is. Deuteronomy 10:17 says, for the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribe. For the Lord your God is God of gods, Lord of lords. If we would take these scriptures and begin to rehearse these scriptures and speak these scriptures out loud, we would begin to be able to have something in our mouths to begin to praise Him and worship Him for. We would begin to know who He is. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of Lords, the great God, the mighty and awesome God, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. This is who we're talking about. This is the God who has shown compassion on us. This is the God who has shown us mercy upon mercy upon mercy when we didn't even deserve. Like the things that we deserve, God has not put on us because of his mercy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The things that I deserve for being disobedient, the thing that I deserve, the penalty that I deserve for my sin, he didn't put that on us. Glory to God. He gave it to Jesus to take. For us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's mercy right there. That's compassion that's inconceivable to our natural mind. Our natural man can't receive that thought. Our natural man can't understand that thought, that God would be so compassionate that he will send his son to take our place on a cross. Glory to God. So that we might have the right to the tree of life. Glory to God. So that we might have the right to the tree of life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm trying to tell you, this is exciting to me. This is exciting. I did not know we was going to go this way, but this is exciting to me. Hallelujah. In Deuteronomy 20, verse 1, it says, when you go to war against your enemies and see horses and chariots and an army greater than yours, do not be afraid of them, because the Lord, your God, who brought you up out of Egypt, will be with you. He's telling you, when you go to war against your enemies and you see the horses and the chariots, and if you see an army that's even greater than yours, he said, don't be afraid. And he's telling you why. He said, because the Lord, your God, who brought you up out of Egypt, will be with you. The Lord, your God. The Lord, not to the unknown God, like they talk about in Acts chapter 17, but the Lord your God. The Lord, he'll be with you. Like my husband likes to say, we forget that God brought us out of that one situation. Now here we are in another situation. We act like God can't bring us out of that one.
Amen.
We forgot. Just yesterday, he just brought us through that. And here we are with a problem faced today. We done forgot about it. But it says, don't be afraid, because the Lord your God, that makes it personal. The Lord your God, that makes it personal. The Lord your God is personal. God is a personal God to you. He's personal. Yeah, he's your God, but he's my God. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 33:27 says, the eternal God, the eternal God is your refuge. The eternal God is your refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. He will drive out your enemy before you, saying, destroy him. But I like the part in the beginning that says, the eternal God is your refuge. The eternal God. That means there's no end to him. The eternal God. He always was. He is right now. He always will be the eternal God, the everlasting God. He is your refuge. He's your refuge, the eternal God. Hallelujah. I used to hear people pray when I was young, and they would say eternal God. I didn't know what the heck they were talking about. They'd say eternal God. But now I know that there is no end. He is. There'll be no end to God. No matter how many times the world is destroyed, no matter how many times God will have to come, and you know the Bible just says he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth, he's still going to be God. He's still going to be God. Hallelujah. The eternal God is your refuge. He's your hiding place. He's your safe haven. Hallelujah. He's your covering. Glory to God. God is your refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Hallelujah. See, that's why we need to know the word of God, because God is telling us right here who he is, and this is who he is to us if we let him be. Hallelujah. I'm getting excited over this thing over here. I don't know about y'all, but I'm excited. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Brother Dennis.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I I was excited, Brother Dennis. I didn't even go check the phone line. And when you said on hold, I didn't even know what that meant. I'm over here excited about these verses in the Bible. What you got to say, Brother Dennis?
Well, first of all, I was listening, and I know I got here late, but I didn't expect Bishop Scott to be coming in so early. When I heard your voice, I didn't expect him to come in so early. I had to hurry up and run and go grab my spiritual seatbelt and strap it on. I tell you, he almost caught me off guard. But I'm gonna clear that up. What I said in the chat room, it's a waste of time for me to try to explain, because first of all, my mind can't comprehend it and my tongue can't explain it. And I was thinking as you were talking, I'm gonna stop putting my tongue on God. And I'm going to put my tongue more on what he has done for me, because that's the best way I can explain what he's done for me, because God is he's just so far up there that words can't describe it. And I'm glad that you brought the words that you brought. But, you know, I wanted to bring another word, because something that you said, it sparked something in me. And, you know, I got a broadcast coming on soon, too. And we're going through some trials and tribulations and some persecutions, and I'm trying to teach people how to have joy and peace in a time of persecution and tribulation and storms. But the thing is, we're supposed to love God with all our hearts, mind, and soul. And over in Deuteronomy, it speaks about how much we're supposed to talk about loving God with all our hearts and minds and soul. When we lay down at night, when we get up in the morning, when we're sitting around the house, when we're walking down the way, we're supposed to put on our post as we enter and leave our property or our house and things like that. You know, we're supposed to put it on our hand as a sign. We're supposed to put it on our forehead as a frontlet. I mean, we're supposed to be talking about this all the time, the love of God and with all our hearts, mind, and soul. But a word I wanted to bring to the forefront, and see, I see a lack of this, because I've been talking about this even this morning with Evangelist Matt before her broadcast started. You know, it's a thing called charity. And even though I gave you some English definitions of those words, but I found out that those are correct, but some of the words are not correct in the English dictionary. And one of the words that I find very disturbing is the word charity. And the word charity in the English Bible tells you the voluntary giving of help, and then it says typically money. But the biblical definition of charity is, in general sense, love, benevolence, goodwill, that disposition of heart which inclines men to think favorably of their fellow men, and you know, things like that, and to do good to others. You know, so that's what charity is. It's not all about money. And as I stated earlier, you know, the majority of modern day places today, they have it backwards. They have their focus on money and not charity. Mm-hmm. You know, and a lot of people who make a lot of money, they give to charity, but they're not actually giving to charity. They're giving to an organization with hopes that they'll give it out to the right people, but most of those places are skimming money and not doing what they are supposed to be doing. But see, when you really love God, you're not going to be giving away to charities. You're going to be giving away to people, and not just money, but your love. You understand
love.
What I'm saying?
Yes,
so this is what y'all talking about here. It's just giving me ammunition for what I'm getting ready to broadcast in a little while. So, you know, I just came here to get my ammunition, because I know anywhere the Scots are, they keep me a spiritual seatbelt on hand at all times. They keep it, because if I don't, I will wreck. So, you know, because y'all are well known for putting the brakes on the devil. And when that devil running me around here or something, which is very, very rare, just in case he is running me around, I got to do nothing but go look for the Scots. And the Scots will put the heavenly brakes on, boy, I tell you the truth. But I appreciate y'all. I love y'all. And I'm going to finish out with this right here. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Yes, sir.
That's right. Yeah. Dennis.
And our friend, Brother Dennis, I tell you.
We have a caller on the line, area code 352. If you would like to have anything to say, would you please press the 1, and we'll get you in on the conversation if you'd like to join us. Amen. But thank you for calling in anyway. But if you'd like to join the conversation, press the 1 to let me know that you want to join the conversation, and we'll get you on the line. And Brother Dennis, the next scripture that we were going to read actually was Joshua 1:8-9. It says, "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it on a day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." Okay? Prosperous and successful. Hallelujah. I just want to know that in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verses 32 and 34, it says, "For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God?" Who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God?
Man.
It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to stand on the heights. These scriptures right here tell us who God is. We all need to just take these scriptures and rehearse these scriptures every day. And I believe when we do this, we will really begin to get a real relationship with Him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? And then verse 33 says, "It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect." It's God who gives me strength. When I feel like I can't go on, it's God who gives me strength. When I feel like I'm too weak, it is God who gives me strength and makes my way perfect, not me. Teresa can't make her way perfect. There's nothing that I can do within myself to give me strength. It's God. Hallelujah. I'm trying to tell you, these scriptures have me excited. I'm just like, woo. It's like I'm reading these scriptures for the first time, and some of them really is the first time.
May I add just one thought as to who God is?
Uh-huh.
You know, God is so infinite. God is so complete. God is so walking in and being in truth that even those who don't understand the truth of Him, once they get connected to Him, they can't help but at least expound on the truth, even if they don't understand the truth. Let me tell you what I mean. I'm going to talk about two things. First is found in the Old Testament. The second is found in the New Testament. The first is the word Elohim in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. When God said, "Let us make man in our image," He's talking about we know as Christians, He's talking about the three persons of the Godhead, one God in three persons. But keep in mind, they weren't Christians who wrote that. It was Moses who wrote the first five books of the Bible. Now, of course, Moses wasn't alive during the time of Genesis. He was alive during the time of Exodus, of Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. But he was not alive during Genesis. So whatever he received in terms of information about Genesis either came from tradition or, and most of the time, in fact, all of the time, it originated from God Himself. So why would God tell Moses to use the plural term for God, Elohim, when the Jewish concept of God is one God, not one God within three persons, but one God standing alone? Once again, it's truth. It's truth. God gives us truth even when we don't understand fully what that truth is. That's why when we hear the truth, we must always ascertain just what exactly is He trying to tell me. The Jews would be the last to say He's talking about the Trinity, and yet there's no other explanation. He certainly wasn't talking about angels being co-creators, because angels themselves were created. He wasn't talking about other gods, because the Jews are monotheistic, as we are, religion. So He's talking about gods in the plural, though they don't understand what it means. God does, because it was God's revelation to Moses, not man's revelation to Moses. And so this tells me the infinity of God, the essence of God himself, that God will reveal his truths even when we always don't understand them. We can find out the truth if we seek it with our whole heart, Jeremiah tells us. But God does reveal things to us that we don't always comprehend. But if we walk in God and continue to seek him, we will get understanding and clarity about it. The other example of that same thing are the Greeks. Now, we know during the time of Christ that the Greeks believed in many gods, Zeus and Ares and Cronus and Uranus and all the other gods, Aphrodite and all those other gods. But here in chapter 17 of Acts, which Evangelist Teresa just talked about, let me read what Paul understood. So Paul, standing before the council, this is the council at Athens now. Athens is a city in Rome, in Greece rather. He says, I notice that you are very religious. For as I was walking along, I saw your many altars, and one of them had this inscription on it, to an unknown God. You have been worshiping him without knowing who he is, see? Truth without knowing truth. And now I wish to tell you about him. Now, Paul is going to tell him who this unknown God is. He is the God who made the world and everything in it. He was the God who created the world and everything in it. Since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples. That's what their gods all were, man-made. In human hands, that's who those gods were made in, by human hands. Can't serve his needs. For he has no needs. See, these gods were like almost like men. They had needs. They had desires. They lusted after women. They procreated. Zeus, the head god, procreated with Hera and had Hercules, a human child. But he doesn't need that. He himself gives life and breath to everything. He's talking about Jehovah God, Jehovah Jireh. And he satisfies every need there is. From one man, he created all the nations through the whole earth. He decided beforehand which shall rise and fall, and he determines their boundaries. His purpose in all of this was that the nation should seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. And it goes on. So he's saying, you're unknown God. The God that existed before all your gods existed. And the Greeks somehow or another knew there was somebody. There was somebody before Zeus. There was somebody before Cronus. There was somebody before Chaos who was supposed to be their first god, but he was created. There was a God that was unknown, a God that created everything that existed. Here you got a polytheistic religion that had a truth within their confusion. They didn't know who this unknown God was, but they knew there had to be somebody who had his hand in everything. There had to be somebody who created everything. They didn't believe in no Big Bang theory and things just came into existence. They knew one truth, and that is this. There had to be somebody in control of everything first being created. Paul identified who that somebody was. It was Jehovah Jireh. It was Jehovah Rapha. It was Jehovah Shalom. It was God, the Elohim, the Adonai, the Yahweh, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That was the unknown God. It was unknown to them, but it was known to Paul because Paul walked in the way of God. The things that are mysteries to the world can be discovered through us, even though the world has the mystery, even though the world has the truth, they can't recognize it because they aren't walking in the way of the Lord. See, God's not unknown to me. Although I've never seen him face to face, but I felt him, I know him, I can feel his spirit on the inside of me, filling me, moving me, guiding me, directing me. I know God, he's not unknown to me. He's the author and finisher of my faith. He's not unknown to me. He's my bread and when I'm hungry. He's the still water when the turbulent seas of life are trying to stir all around me. He's my way maker, and my problem solver. He's all the world to me. He makes things right that are wrong. He makes things good that are bad. He brings light into dark situations. See, God can bring even those who don't understand understanding if they seek after the truth. You have to seek after it with your whole heart. And then we'll discover who he is. And you know, I'm going to tell you the truth. The Lord's speaking to me right now. There is no word in the English dictionary that can fully describe who he is. Mm-hmm. No word. There's thousands of words in the English dictionary. There's more thousands in other dictionaries. Some that are not even interpreted can't be interpreted into English. All kinds of words out there. I guess millions and millions and millions of words if you add all the languages together. But none are sufficient enough to describe who he is. In some ways, even for us, he remains the unknown God. Because we can't fully, fully appreciate who he is and what he did. For somebody to give their only begotten son. For people that rejected him centuries after centuries after centuries. Gave him prophets, gave him judges. They refused to listen. They gave him the law. They refused to obey it. But he never gave up on man. I'm going to tell you the truth. Even after rapture, there'll be folk that'll be saved. Oh, yes, they'll have to be beheaded. Oh, yes, they'll have to suffer in order to be saved. But even during the tribulation, there's going to be folk that will be saved. Read the book of Revelation. It'll tell you that.
My Lord.
God will never give up on us. Don't let nobody deceive you. All he's saying is, why do you have to go through the tribulation? Why do you have to go through the 7 years of hell on earth? You can decide now and escape that. But if you do find yourself there, don't give up on God, because God ain't giving up on you. Oh, yeah, now you got to die for it. But if you die for it, if you're willing to give up your life for him, he'll give you salvation too. It's never too late for God and you, ever. The only time it is when the great white throne begins to be seen, and those who are still not caught up in the rapture, those who are not caught up in the execution period of the tribulation, those that refuse to adhere to God and follow after Satan after he's loose from the bottomless pit and follow after him, after that, then it'll be over. But only then. But only then. He's holding back all that right now because there's people that need to hear the word. He's delaying the judgment because there's people that still are destined to be saved that haven't heard the word yet. Once that's done, once everyone has heard the word, everyone that God purposed, and everyone that was preordained, and everyone that chose to follow after him, once they have been sealed, then comes the judgment. And I'm not here to tell you what year that's going to be. Our people are so gullible, I tell you. We don't even know what the Maya calendar is. Never even heard of it until recently. Now this will be the last year of the Maya calendar. You know who the Mayans were? The average person doesn't even know who the Mayans were. As far as the people, they died out a long time ago, way before this calendar ended up. But I told somebody today, they talk about, oh, you know, this will be the last year. And I remember when that May 11th of 2011, the man said everything going on, and I was so nervous. I said, I'm going to tell you something, dear heart. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not nervous about none of that. If we're that nervous and that concerned about it, then why don't we get a closer walk with God so that we don't have to worry about where our destiny is if this is the last day of war on earth?
Right.
People are so worried, but I said, you're a bunch of liars, because if you really were worried, this is the end of all existence, and now comes the judgment, and apocalypse is on its way, then why aren't you getting yourself together then?
Because they partly believe it and partly they don't.
Exactly. That flesh still is ruling. Even in a desperate situation like that, their spirit is all in apprehension, their soul's all confused, but their flesh is still saying, but let's party. Party hardy, party on. Party on. Worry about that while you're sleeping with a man who ain't your husband. Worry about the May 11th, but on May the 10th, you're still in the bed with the man, other man. If you really were that nervous, you tell him to get out of my bed and get out of my house and get out of my life. So we say a lot of stuff. I tell you, boy, if salvation was what we say, everybody would most likely be saved. Because we can talk a good game, I'm going to tell you.
Well, I want to talk about...
But if this is the last year, like folk are saying, get your life straight there. If you believe that, I believe what the word said, of that day and hour, no man knows. No one, not even the Son of God knows. Only the Father knows. That's what I believe.
But guess what? If it is the end of the world, what you going to do about it?
You can't do nothing about it.
Better
I told
be
her.
Ready.
There's nothing you can do about it.
Ain't nothing we can do about it. We better be ready.
And I'm going to tell you the truth of the truth. The truth is this. This could be your last day, and it was not the world's last day. What do you think about that?
Could be.
The world may wake up tomorrow morning, but you may not. This may be your apocalyptic day right now.
Could be.
A personal thing, not the universe. Your day is to be your last day on earth. We look at how the whole world going to be destroyed. You know, every day somebody dies. Every day there's an apocalypse in somebody's life. Every day there's a day of death in everybody's life. Every day this is my last day for somebody every day. Somebody for every day. This is their last day. Today will be the last day for many folk. This day. They will not see October the 11th. This day will be their last day on earth. Today will be the judgment day of a lot of folk. Even before they get to the great judgment seat and the great white throne judgments. Before all of that, they're going to be already gone. Better work while it's still day. Get your life right while it's still day. Don't be like the king and the governors of old who said when Paul was talking to them, they talking about, you almost persuaded me to be a Christian. Don't be almost persuaded. Don't be almost nothing. Be fully persuaded. Don't wait for that one more sermon to get you right. That last one you heard last Sunday may be the last one you're ever here. Let's get ourselves right with God, and let's do it now. I like that song.
Get right with God.
And do it now.
And do it now.
God.
Get right with God.
And he will show you how.
And he will show you how.
Cross.
I'm at the cross.
Personally, yes.
We shed his blood.
Get right with God. Get right with God.
Hey, glory.
How else you want to get right with God?
Get right with God.
Do it now.
Honey, before we end the broadcast tonight, I would like to know if you can just share with the listening audience some testimony about your life.
Well, I'm getting of the I'm getting feedback here, too.
Okay.
Well, we can just say this much. I, you know, I was, as many people already know, I was born with a physical challenge. I had cerebral palsy that I was diagnosed with at the age of 14. And nevertheless, God was in the program all along. You hear the way I talk now. When I was a boy, I couldn't talk quite this well. I stammered a lot. I stuttered greatly to the point that my teachers used to say, You better stop stammering. You better stop stuttering. But God had a plan. God had a purpose in mind for me. It did not require me to run, but it did require me to have a voice. So he worked a miracle in my life. He took the stuttering away when it came to preaching. Oh, every now and then I'll stutter if I get on the phone and I'm talking, and all of a sudden I'll get tongue-tied. I guess you've never heard me, because every time I get on the blog talk or some Christian on a Christian station or talking about the Lord, I just have a confidence in me. I have a faith in me. I have a strength in me that transcends the ordinary. I do that a lot of times. My legs move, which normally my legs can't move, in ways my legs can't move. When I'm in the Spirit of the Lord, the power of the Lord, the presence of the Lord in my life has made a difference all my life. As a young boy, I knew that I never wanted to be a fireman, I never wanted to be a policeman, I never wanted to be a doctor or a lawyer. I always wanted to be a preacher. Began preaching unofficially when I was 8 in the backyard of my grandmother's house. At the age of 12, I began to preach in churches and in prisons and correctional institutions and other churches in the neighborhood because of God, because God had planned this for my life. Did I meet obstacles along the way? Oh, yes. Because many even within the body of Christ thought that because of my physical disability, I could not be all that I could have been in the church. But I never believed that. I always believed that God had a purpose for me. And I knew my purpose. I knew God's plan for me in my life. And I trusted God. God said, this was my plan for you. And I was, I guess, foolish enough to believe God and not to hear what man said. And every time man would say what I can do, I decided what I could do in God. And any good thing that ever happened to me happened through God's presence in my life. I had series of operations out from school from the time I was 13 to the time I was 17, off and on, in surgeries, in hospitals, down Atlantic City, at the Seashore House, and other places. I had altogether 9 operations at different parts of my body. But I still graduated my high school class right on time. God had a plan for me. And God has a plan for each and every one of us. I began pastoring, once again, under unusual circumstances. Every year they would bypass me. The church, those within the church, would bypass me and giving me a charge. I was one of the leaders in my class in terms of academic ability. In my class, I passed all my tests. I did everything that any minister in training was supposed to do and did it better than most, thanks be to God. But they always looked at the physical. They always looked at the exterior. They always looked at what appeared to be and not what was in the man's spirit. And so I was always rejected. One time I was up for going to go to pastor a church in Bermuda. But I was denied.
Hello? Okay, can y'all hear us?
Amen.
All right, we just had a little technical problem right there. If y'all can hear us in the chat room, can you let me know? Shirley, can y'all hear us?
I hope you can. We had a technical difficulty, but I was just explaining the power of God in a person's life,
okay,
that in spite of what man has intention for you, God still is in control of the situation. In spite of the no's and your can't do's, God knew better, and he opened up doors of opportunity, and I began to pastor under a very dubious situations and very, controversial situation, but God wanted me to do what he wanted me to do. And in spite of man saying you can't do and you're through, God said, I'm the last word in everything, and I determine what when it's over. And I determine when it's been fulfilled. And thanks be to God, he still is in control even today. I thank God for all that he's done in my life. My life has been a testimony. I was supposed to be in a wheelchair by the time I was 30 years old. And the incident that they was going to put me in the wheelchair never did put me in the wheelchair. I'm in the wheelchair now only to travel. But that wasn't because of my cerebral palsy or my subsequent injury to my hip, my left hip. but it was an accident that happened in 2008. All those years, I was in my 50s, nearly 60 years old, when finally it happened to me that I would be somewhat, not even totally confined, but somewhat confined to a wheelchair in terms of travel. But all those years, from the time I was 13 until the time I was nearly 60, God used me in every way possible. And God ain't through yet. A wheelchair doesn't stop you if you don't want to be stopped. Poverty doesn't stop you if you don't want to be stopped. The situation in your life, even your past life, can't stop you if you don't want to be stopped. You can be knocked down, but that don't mean you have to be knocked out. When you're knocked out, that means that you most time when you're knocked out, you've given up. You don't want to get back up, or you don't get back up in time. But every time you're knocked down, if you get back up, you can win the fight. In the natural world, in the boxing world, you'll see fighters knocked down once, twice, three times in a round. And they have to go to the mandatory 8 count. Sometimes they get to the 9 count. But they jump back up, and I've seen them jump back up and defeat the one that knocked them down. I remember Mike Tyson and Buster Douglas. Buster Douglas was knocked down, and they thought, oh, my goodness, Iron Mike had another victim and another win under his belt. But Buster Douglas refused to be like the other many, many candidates for the contenders for his belt. He refused to stay down, and he got back up and surprised the world by knocking out the one who knocked him down, and he became the heavyweight champion of the world. Some even said in audience, "Stay down, Buster, stay down." But Buster refused to stay down because he knew he went in there to win. He didn't go in there to lose. When you go into life as a winner, you won't lose. I refuse to give up. I refuse to give in. Others fell to this man. At that point, Mike Tyson had no defeats. Undefeated world champion. Buster Douglas only had 14 wins in his whole career. The rest were losses. But this night, he went in like a champion. This night, he went in against the very best and believed in himself and believed in the one who called him to do what he decided to do. And he believed enough and had faith enough in what he wanted to do to become champion. Even after being knocked down, he got back up and he said, "This is my night to be champion." And because of that commitment, because of him not being dissuaded, because of him not laying down and giving up and throwing in the towel, and he got back up and he jumped back up and he defeated the very one who everyone knew would defeat him. See, folks say to you, "Oh, you know, you might well give up. You know, there's no hope for you. You've been in this thing too long. You'll never change. Ain't no way you're going to ever get the victory. You might well just give it and call it a day. Satan just drills it in you. People drill it in you. And sometimes even your own flesh tells you this." That's the time you say, "Oh, you're a liar. Satan, you're a liar. The people that come at me with this is a liar. And even I rebuke my own flesh in this. I know I'm more than a conqueror because God don't make no junk. So I'm going to get back up again. And I'm going to win this fight. And I'm going to keep on punching until I hit the right hit, make the right hit, land the right blow. And knock out the one who's meant to knock me out." I remember Peter and the disciples were fishing all day long, all night long. And they pulled in their nets and said, "Well, we ain't going to catch anything today, boys." And Jesus told them, "Well, I see you fishing. I know you're committed to fishing. I know you haven't caught anything. But why don't you try to throw your nets on the other side?" And Peter said to the Lord, he said, "Lord, we've been fishing all day long. Nevertheless," I love "nevertheless." "Nevertheless, at your command, I'll throw the net on the other side." Tired, weak, worried, maybe even discouraged, and even maybe a momentary doubting. But he knew who asked him to do it, and he believed enough in Christ to believe if there's any hope of us catching anything, it's when we listen to the Lord. Because after all, when the Lord told me to come to him while he was walking on the water, as long as I kept my eye on him, I continued to walk. So maybe that same Jesus that allowed me to do the miracle of walking on the water with him will work a miracle now for me. The disciples threw the net on the other side, and they caught enough fish that the net itself broke. And they had more than enough. So that's what God, that's what he means by more than a conqueror. You always have more. It's not just you have enough. You have more than enough. You're not just a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror in Christ.
More than a conqueror.
More than any, you know, I like that when they had when they fed the 5,000, it said they had more than enough. 12 extra baskets of food. Fed every one of the 5,000 plus the women and children, and then still had enough to fill 12 baskets of food. More than enough. If you keep your hands in God's hands, you'll have, and maybe that's another word for him, he's more than enough. He's more, and the Lord's telling me right now, through the Holy Spirit, there's the words right there. Because whatever you need, he's more than enough. You need healing, he's more than enough. Need love, he's more than enough. Need a friend, what a friend we have in Jesus. He's more than enough. Need a comfort, he's more than enough. You need forgiveness, he's more than enough. That's what the cross is all about. More than enough. That's why we don't have to sacrifice bullets and turtle doves and sheep and oxen anymore on our altar. We don't have to do that. We don't need a peace offering and a burn offering and a love offering and all the offerings they had. We don't need all that. He's more than enough. That's why after he hung on the cross for 6 hours, he said, "It is finished." It's what I've done is more than enough to save them from damnation. More than enough to pay the price for their sins. So much so that his offering there at Calvary paid the price for my sins, your sins, our great, 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 great grandparents' sins, and our great, great, great grandchildren's sins. More than enough. And I'm going to call him that from now on when I refer to the Lord. He's more than enough.
He is more than enough. He's more than enough. How soon we forget, but he is more than enough.
You know, if we don't know anything else, all our little words and $100 words and other little fancy words, and we can only say this, I don't know all that, but I know one thing. He's more than enough.
Sister-in-law said, go ahead, brother dear.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Shirley Cheryl.
He said, all right now. Go ahead, brother dear.
That's my girl. He's more than enough.
He is more than enough.
You don't know all about the Jehovah's Rapha and all those the Hebrew terms and the Greek terms for him and the interpretation of other words for him. Just saying he's more than enough.
You're more than enough.
That covers it all. Because I don't care what you need. If you need somebody to provide, he's more than enough. You need peace, shalom. He's more than enough. More than enough. That's what it is.
Anybody has a testimony that they like to give?
Keep me quiet now. You know where I get on the roll. God
no,
bless.
That's okay.
Holy.
I just want to tell everybody that they want to give a testimony. The number is 323-693-3054. Again, it's area code 323-693-3054. If you have a testimony, if you have a praise report, if you have something that you'd like to say, please feel free to call in at the number that I just gave, area code 323-693-3054, and we will get you on the line so that you can have an opportunity to tell what you're thankful to God for or to tell us what God has brought you through or to tell us how God has delivered you. Glory to God. It might help somebody else to be able to hold on and go through. It might help somebody else to be able to go through and, you know, say, if God did it for them, then I'm sure he'll do it for me, because God's word says he's not a respecter of person. So if he did it for Gerald, he'll do it for Shirley. If he'll do it for Shirley, he'll do it for whoever. You know, he'll do it for guest 4541. Wow, hallelujah, glory to God, hallelujah. I think your sister-in-law caught on to that, Gerald. She said, sounds like a winning name, more than enough.
More than enough.
That sounds like a winning name to her, hallelujah. So guess what? It sounds like a winning name, so I guess we better hold on to that, that he is more than enough. He's more than enough. He's more than. What's that song Gerald used to say, Jesus is all the world to me?
Yes. Jesus is all the world to me. My hope, my life, my all. He is my strength. From day to day, without him I would fall. When I am sad, to him I go. No other one can cheer me so. When I am sad, he makes me glad. He's my friend.
Hallelujah. He's more than enough.
Yes, he is.
Jesus is all the world to me. I think we need to just really go back and listen to this broadcast again and just ask God to open our hearts so we can meditate on what we just heard, that God is more than enough.
Amen.
He's just more than enough. There's, what else can you say after that?
My God.
I mean, really, what else can you say?
That's something to meditate
that?
On.
Like, he's more than enough. When you, if you just, like, I thank God for Blog Talk Radio, because I can be at home laying on my bed and nobody would never know it. But I'm saying that I'm laying here right now on my bed, and if you just begin to just lay there and just meditate on God being more than enough, God more than enough, and she just put it on Facebook, Gerald.
Mama.
She put it on her status that God is more, she said, God's other name is more than enough.
Amen, that's so true.
And I, you know what, and I'm excited about that, because she said that's what he is. Gerald said it, and it sounds good. God is more than enough.
My Lord, God. It's so true.
If we will meditate on that, God
it's
is
so true.
More than enough, we would see some things changing in our lives. If we would meditate on this word from God that we just received, that he is more than enough, we would not go through life depressed and you know, messed up and secret closet drinkers. You know what I'm saying? Secret pill poppers. If we would just sit there and meditate on this impartation that God just gave us, that he is more than enough.
Thank you, Lord.
I don't know about y'all, but I feel the Holy Spirit in that God said, and he's talking to all of us, that he is more than enough. Stop looking at other things. Stop looking at other people. Stop looking at things to satisfy you. Stop looking at people to pat you on the back. Stop looking at people. God is more than enough. God is more. Hear this in the spirit. I believe, my sister, you caught that thing. But hear this in the spirit. I'm talking too much. I hear it in the spirit.
Amen.
God is more than enough.
Evangelist.
He's more than enough.
Amen.
And we need to take that and meditate on that. And I'm going to get me some colored paper, and I'm going to put that on my wall. God is more than enough. He's more than. He's not enough. God is not. No, he's more than enough. He's more than enough. Say that to yourself out loud. God is more than enough.
Man.
God is more than enough. God, you are more than enough. God, I thank you. that you are more than enough. God, I praise you because you are more than enough. Glory to God. You are more than enough. Hallelujah. More than enough. Hallelujah. Area code 352. You are live on the air.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon.
Hello. Oh, yeah, I just wanted to testify and to say for me as well that God is more than enough. God has brought me to a place, and it's a strange place. He's bringing me to a place of the end of myself. And that it's a strange place, but it's a fulfilling place. It's a place where everything that I need is there.
Yeah.
And it's a place of peace. It's a place of peace. And I've been saved for, what, almost 20 years, but I'm just now understanding how to let Christ live in me, and that I don't have to it's not by my works, because every time I try to do it, it don't be sustained. But He's showing me, and it took a while for Him to show me, stay in that place. Stay in that place, lean on Jesus for it all, and there I find peace, I find completeness, I find wholeness. He's delivered me from smoking cigarettes, from being a closet drinker, and I mean, this is why I'm saved. Like I said, 20 years, you know, almost 20 years. This is why I'm saved. He's delivered me from those things. And,
hallelujah.
And he's just showing me now. He's showing me, and I'm so happy. It's a beautiful thing. He's showing me how I don't have to work, but I can just trust in Jesus, and Jesus is my faith. And he's showing me, you don't look at these things. It's not when you're praying to me, when you're expecting from me, you're expecting from heaven, not from earth. And it's a beautiful thing. And so, you know, I can when I talk to him and you know, I'm expecting from heaven. I'm talking to the God of heaven. And it's so nice, because other places you can't go. Other like somebody said before, you just can't talk to the president, you know. But he, you know, I can talk to him, and he's the maker of all, and I can talk to him, and I don't have to go through people upon people, and it's just beautiful. It's just beautiful, and he's true, and in his holiness, you know, and he wants goodness. He blesses us all. You know,
amen.
And he's the true God, you know, and he'll bless anyone who comes to him, seeking him, you know, for truth. You know, we play a lot in this world. We play a lot. But when we're ready to stop playing and stop being handed trash, we can go to God and receive the truth and receive fulfillment. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. And we just have to. I just encourage, you know, to just forget about yourself and go to God in the name of Jesus, not in your own self, but, you know, and by the blood of Jesus we're washed. So go knowing that God has already accepted us. He's already accepted you if you believe in Christ, and depend on that and stand on that. He has so much. He has so much. That's all I have to say for now.
You know what? I appreciate you calling in. What's your name?
Stacy.
Stacy, I thank you for calling in tonight. And what I wanted to say was, you know, you said closet drinker, and I like to say that a lot, because I know, you know, when I was younger, I got saved in 1988, I believe it was. It was a year after my daughter was born. And I used to go to church, and I helped them in the church. I did so much stuff in the church, you know. I did radio back then. The Lord's bringing it back to my remembrance. I was helping them with radio broadcasts back then, so this is natural that I'm doing this now. But I was in the choir. I was in the ministerial class. I was in everything, on the fundraising committee. I was doing everything, and I would go home and drink. I would go home. You know what I mean? I would smoke. I would be out there doing stuff that I just totally had no business doing as a person being named a Christian. You know, as a person, I mean, and I'm telling you, it's like, I say the closet drinker because there's so many people out there that's still out there that don't know that God is more than enough. There is so many people out there who are in the closet suffering because they don't know yet that God is enough. He's more than enough. They don't. They yes, don't, they haven't yes. gotten the impartation that God is more than enough.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
So they still turn to the bottle. They still turn to the sex. They still turn to the, you know, the marijuana or whatever it is, but mm-hmm. won't turn to God because they haven't come to the conclusion yet that God is everything that we need. Everything that we need is found in Him. Everything that we need is found in Him. And we haven't gotten to, a lot of people haven't gotten to the point where we can totally, absolutely trust Him.
Yeah.
That's why testimony is good, to give testimonies, because guess what? Somebody will go back into the archives and listen to what you said and say, well, God did it for her. Why can't He do it for me? Somebody can get their deliverance just by knowing that God delivered you from being a secret drinker. You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
But the enemy would have us to be quiet about this God who is more than enough, the things that He's brought us through. He would have us to be quiet so people won't know that they can get delivered too. Why won't He deliver me if He delivered her? Mm-hmm. But God, He sent that word tonight. I'm telling you, God sent that word tonight. And I'm sorry more people are not listening, but God sent this word tonight.
Hallelujah.
For us and for those that will be coming in and listening to the archive. God sent this word that He is more than enough. That word came out of left field. We were not expecting that. That word just came and went, bam.
Amen.
Receive the word of God that He is more than enough. Receive the word of God. Don't just take this thing lightly. That word came for a reason.
Hallelujah.
After
Sister, can I say something else?
Yes.
Okay, you know, and that, you know, God was dealing with me about the scripture in Chronicles where He talks about if my people who are called by my name will turn from their wicked ways and humble themselves and pray, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. So, you know, when that tied in with that testimony, because I said, now, Lord, You can heal my land.
Mm.
Now, Lord, You can heal my land. Heal my land. I don't want nothing between me and You. You know, I don't want no sin go unconfessed. I'm giving everything to You. And then that's when he brought me to the place. And it's almost like in the spirit, I'm at a cliff, and that's the end of me. But then the next step I take is in Him. And I'm so glad that I'm at that cliff. You understand what I'm saying? I'm at that cliff, and it's a beautiful place to be. It's strange, it's different, but it's a beautiful place to be. It's a beautiful place to be, and I think that, you know, God calls His people to holiness as well, because, you know, I've been praying, Lord, you know, heal my land, heal my land. But, you know, we got to be obedient. He said, if my people would do what I tell them to, then I will. And, boy, so that ties in with that, too.
Amen. I like that you're at the edge. You're at the edge of the cliff.
Mm-hmm.
No, He's not going to let you fall. He's not going to let you fall.
And then when I get to that place, when I have that perception, you know, when I think out of that way, that's where I can immediately just let go of myself. And I'm like hanging there. just only you, Lord. You know what I mean? And it's a, and I try to stay there at that place now. Sometimes, you know, throughout the day, things go on, but I try to run to that place. I try to run to the end of myself. And when I get to the end of myself and him, oh, that's the spot where I like to be. That's the spot where I like to be. It's a beautiful place.
Yes. Mm. Place of trust. Yes. Let me tell you something. I just want to say that I'm excited. You, Pastor Felicia, praise God, you here. You said something just a minute ago. You said your name is Tammy?
Stacy.
You said your name is Tammy?
Stacy.
Oh, gosh, I don't know how I got Tammy out of that. Okay. Stacy, you said something about unconfessed sin. I don't know. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Pastor Felicia. You said something about unconfessed sins, and I had my Bible open to a page in Proverbs, and it's a spiritual warfare Bible. My sister took me to pick it up today, and the page that I have open is up to unconfessed sin, and it says unconfessed sin is an opening. You know, so when you said that, I'm like, wow. And the spiritual warfare Bible is just that. It's about spiritual warfare. We realize that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world. We know that spiritual wickedness in high places. But one thing that we have to be able to do is confess our sin. We need to close every opening that we have open for the enemy to come in, unconfessed sins, so that we can be able to praise God, so we can be able to worship God. We don't want anything. We don't want anything in our way to stop us from getting what we want to get from God, from getting what we need to get from God, from getting what we need from that God who just revealed himself to us by saying that he's more than enough.
Yeah. Ooh, boy, oh, boy. And those things will get in our way. We can front like they won't because I believe God for this and I believe God for that. And, oh, this is just my little weakness. But it's a lie.
You
gotta
say that again.
It's a lie because they besetting us. I mean, I know it. When I laid those things down, I saw the change. And we out there on the battlefield, and we wrestling, but then we're saving those things that are hurting us. So we're not killing those things. And we have the sword. We got the sword, but we're not killing the enemy right there. But we're on the battlefield. Mm-hmm. And so we allowing things to survive, and they wrecking us.
Yes, kill it.
They wrecking us.
So
it ain't gonna work. It ain't gonna work. It just ain't gonna work. And God has much more. He has. Oh boy, he has it's a peace and it's a blessing. That trade off, let it go because it's much more. It's much better than what you're trying to hold on to. It's much better than what you're trying to hold on to. And our prayer lives have just become more effective because we're not saving our enemy. We're not letting our enemy live. We're not letting our enemy live. Mm-mm. Side with God and win this thing. Side with God and watch the prayers be answered. Watch things change. Things will change. I mean, seriously change. You'll be in awe like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe it. And then the peace knowing you're fighting the good fight of faith. The peace knowing that those things are behind you. The peace knowing that you laid everything down for God and that you don't, because, I mean, you know, we can hide sin in us and you know how you feel when you're hiding something. You know, you ain't coming up and safe all the way before God and, you know, you got this unconfessed thing. You know how it feels. So stop that and you won't feel like that no more and those things won't hinder. They won't hinder you no more. Oh, it's freedom. Who the sun sets free is free indeed. Really. Good boy. It's a beautiful place.
Oh, the sun sets. You know what, husband? I don't know what happened tonight, but the Holy Ghost jumped right in there.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Parted that word about God is more than enough.
Amen.
And I have to say this, and I'm saying this I'm saying it not so much to tell on myself, but I'm saying this because somebody, I want you to hear this, that I have not trusted God and have not allowed him to be more than enough to me.
Amen.
I have worried. I have fretted. I have doubted God. I have looked at situations and been like, oh, my God, how are we going to? I'm telling you. I'm telling you, this word tonight, this needs to be played over and over again, that God is more than enough.
Yes.
Okay. We like to say things, but just as sure as the Holy Spirit imparted that word tonight through my husband, Bishop Scott, we're going to be tested on this word. Get girded up. Get girded up. So that when the time comes, you will know that he is more than enough, and you won't fret because he's more than enough. If God took care of you then, he'll take care of you then, okay? If God did this for us then, he'll do it for us then. I'm saying it sounds crazy, but that's how it's coming out. If he did it for you then, he'll do it for you then.
All right.
Okay, this is, God is speaking to me. I'm receiving what he's saying right now, that he is more than enough. We have to get to a point where we totally trust God and stop talking about trusting God, but totally trusting God.
Back face from evangelist, if
yes.
you don't mind, just to add to that, piggyback of what you're saying. In the book of St. Matthew, chapter five, where we're dealing with the Beatitudes. And the word that is used is the word blessed. Blessed are the meek, blessed are those that mourn, blessed are the peacemakers, and so forth and so on. And many times people have misinterpreted that to mean happy are you. And that's not what it means.
Right.
Happiness is determined by circumstances. The Greek word, remember
right.
the Old New Testament is written in Greek. So there's a Greek word for the word blessed there. And the Greek word is makarios. And makarios means happy in Jesus alone. Or better still, satisfied in Jesus alone. He's more than enough.
Yeah.
He's more than enough. So when you see blessed and people talk about it means happy are you, it doesn't mean that. That's wrong. That's not what the Greek word means. Happiness is determined by favorable circumstances. If things are going right, then I'm happy. If things are breaking my way, then I'm happy. If everybody's talking what I want to hear and doing what I want them to do, then I'm happy. That's not what it means.
Mm-hmm.
It means makarios, which means being satisfied in God alone, happy in Jesus alone. If there is a happiness, it says contentment, a satisfaction in Yahshua, HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, alone. So that means that my circumstances may seem bleak. I may be in a difficult situation in my life, but I'm happy, I'm satisfied, I'm contented, because I know that I'm not in it by myself. He's more than enough. What can keep us from, separate us from the love of God? He's more than enough. Because it goes through the litany of things that come into our lives, peril, persecution, tribulation, da-da-da-da-da-da, sword, pestilence, everything that comes into our lives, but that can't separate us from the love of God. He's more than enough. No matter what you're going through in life, name it, and I'll still say he's more than enough. Well, I'm going through a divorce, more than enough. I feel like I'm all by myself, he's more than enough. My body is sick and my mind is confused, more than enough. I don't have any peace in my life. He's more than enough. We don't allow him to be all that he is meant to be. We don't allow him through his Holy Spirit to do what he is meant to do. The Holy Spirit is supposed to be talking about, I think our sister was talking about killing the flesh. You can't do it by yourself. The word says it takes Romans tells me that it takes the Holy Spirit to help us mortify the flesh. Watch, the flesh will always rise up again and again and again. Because all of our good intentions and all of us, I swear to God, I won't do that again, don't mean nothing. We don't have enough strength in ourselves. If we did, we wouldn't have needed the law, we wouldn't have needed the prophets, and we certainly wouldn't need God coming to earth and dying on the cross if we could do it ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
He's what makes it more than enough. When he said it's finished, he's saying it's more than enough. What I've done is more than enough to save Gerald's wretched soul. What I've done at Calvary is more than enough to save Shelley's soul and Teresa's soul and Felicia's soul. He don't call us pastor and bishop. He calls us who we are. What I did was more than enough. The Greek word for that is teleo, and teleo means I paid it in full. It's more than enough.
More than enough. Ooh, all I know is.
So when people ask you, what is the Lord to you? Don't try to think about the $10 words and he's the lily of the valley, the brightness. Say he's more than enough.
Yes, come out of religiosity.
You know, the little phrases we use, you know, he's a rock in a weary land, and da da da, you know, it's all true, all that. But you know, the best thing to do instead of trying to think about 5,000 terms for it, just think of these few little words. He's more than enough. How many words is that? Four?
Yep.
Amen.
Phrases we want to use to make ourselves sound religious and sound like we deep.
We deep.
Say he's more than enough. What does that mean? He's more than enough.
If
you want him to be your rock in a weary land, he can be your rock in a weary land. He can be your rose of Sharon. He can be your bright and morning star. He can be all that and then some more. He's more than enough.
More than enough means no more
explanation. You know, God is simple, because I know with Moses, when Moses said, who shall he send to set me? He could have said, say that the Most High God, the creator of all the universe, he said, tell him that I am sent you. Simple, isn't it? The I am. You know, I am sent you. Not all this ecclesiastical stuff. I am sent you. Just tell him that, Moses. The I am sent you. People talk about, how can we know all the law? Jesus, what did Jesus say? He said, just remember these two laws. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul, and the second commandment is like unto it, love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments are all the law and the prophets. If you don't know the number 9 commandment and the number 6 commandment, just remember those two. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments and all the law and the prophets. Boom, there you are. Simple.
And God is more than enough.
More than enough. That's simple. You can remember 4 words if you can't remember all the rest of it. He's more than enough. And that settles it.
Jesus is all.
I just He's all the world to me.
Pastor Felicia.
Yes, ma'am.
How you doing?
Better. Amen. He's more than enough. More
Amen.
Than
me.
Amen.
Let's start a revival, y'all. He's more than enough.
Let's do a
Facebook revival. He's more than enough. To have a Facebook revival. He's more than enough.
More than.
And see how many people catch on to that. He's more than enough. He's more than enough. Sister Shirley, you want to call 323-693-3054? Do you have anything to say?
Mm-hmm.
He's more than enough.
Mm-hmm.
I want to tell you something. He's more than enough. And he wants it all.
All in all.
Oh, you know what? Enough. And he wants it all. You know, that. I don't know if y'all know that song, He Wants It All. What's that lady name that sings the song? Honey, what's her name? Forever Jones?
Uh-huh.
Forever Jones. And God is more than enough, but we got to do our part. God is going to always be more than enough. He's never going to not be more than enough. He's always going to be more than enough. Why? Because he's God. So he's always going to be more than enough. We got to do our part, too. We need to come out of sin. I don't want to go over this. God's going to be more than enough. Nothing's going to change that. But we have to change to be able to receive the more than enough that he is.
Mm-hmm.
God don't cover up sin. Understand? God don't pet sin. God don't say, okay, it's you, Teresa. It's okay. You can keep sinning. He don't say that. The book of Romans says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How can those who are dead to sin live any longer therein? So we must die to sin. We must ask the Holy Spirit to help us to crucify our flesh so that we can experience this God who is more than enough. We need to come out of the closet or stay in the closet. Stay in the closet and pray. Because God said, go into your prayer closet. And whatever you pray in secret, he will reward you openly. So if you want to stay in the closet, stay in the closet. But stay in there and pray. So God can deliver you. So this God who is more than enough can come in there and commune with you and cleanse you up, clean you up, wash you up, sanctify you, set you apart, make you holy. This God who's more than enough, who we talking about? He's more than enough. He's not just enough. He's more than that. He's more than enough.
Hallelujah.
They say he's all that in a bag of chips. He's more than enough. But he wants it all. He wants all of us. He don't want a part of us. He wants all of us. He wants us to submit to him, to his will. He wants all of us. Whatever it is that we have to shake off, to get off of, the Bible says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Whatever it is, if it's anger, if it's jealousy, if it's fornicating, if it's lying, if it's disobedience, God tells you to stop doing something and you won't. God tells you to do something and you won't. Delayed disobedience. God says do it now, but you say I'm going to do it later. Delayed obedience. I mean, whatever it is, spending too much time on the computer, spending too much time hanging out with other people, not spending time with God, whatever it is, drunkenness, gossiping, backbiting, lying, feet that swift to mischief, hands that shed innocent blood, tearing down people's character, hate, rebellion, being stiff-necked, whatever it is, God knows.
Hallelujah.
All we got to do is go to him. This God who is more than enough. This God who maybe some of us just been looking at as, God, give me this, God, give me this, God, help me out of this, God, help me out of that, God, do this, God, do that. This God who we read about earlier in the broadcast, the sovereign Lord, the gracious Lord, the God who's our strength, the God who is our refuge. This God that we were talking about earlier, the God who is the God of gods and the Lord of lords. Great and mighty. We sing these songs. Great and mighty is our God. But come on, do we really know that he's great and mighty? He's a consuming fire. He's a merciful God. He's a sovereign Lord. Oh, my gosh. If we would just begin to say these scriptures over and over again, we will begin to see some things change in our life because he will become that to us. And you talk about some testimonies then, woo! We'll be talking about all kind of things. We'll be saying all kind of things about this God who's more than enough. Let me tell you something. Go back and listen to this broadcast in the archives and get the scriptures that we were talking about. But this part right here, that God is more than enough, get a pretty piece of cardboard or something and write it on your wall or something. God is more than enough. I'm almost tempted to, I'm not going to do that, though, because we're renting. If I was a calligrapher, really, if I knew how to do calligraphy, I would write that right on top of the closet, that space right over top of the closet that I see when I get up. God is more than enough. I would put it right there on that wall. God is more than enough. So I just want to say thank God for his Holy Spirit on tonight, who came through and just began to speak through Bishop Scott tonight. So I thank God for that, that he was used in that way.
Thank you, Lord.
But what I want to do is, if you're listening in the archives, if you're listening on the line and, you know, in the chat room, if you're not born again or if you're on the fence or not really a fence, but if you, you know, if you think you're on a fence or, you know, if you got one foot in and one foot out, you know, and you just don't know what to do, I offer you this God who is more than enough. And I offer him to you tonight through his son, Jesus Christ, through faith in his son, Jesus Christ. I offer you this God who is more than enough. And I offer him to you because this God who is more than enough, who came through tonight to speak to us, he said in John 3:16, for he, God, loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus, Yeshua, that whosoever believes in him would not perish. Whoever believes Yeshua, whoever would believe in this Jesus, the son of the God who is more than enough, that you won't perish, but that you'll have everlasting life. When he says that you won't perish, that you will not spend eternity in the lake of fire. There is a lake that burns with fire and brimstone, if you care to read it in the book of Revelation. This is true. I believe it is true because the word of God has recorded it, so therefore I believe this is true. But I offer you this Jesus, this Yeshua who died on Calvary's cross, who before he was crucified, he was beaten, he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. He was beaten by many stripes. He got hit 39 times, but the Bible says by his stripes we are healed. We're healed from our sin, from our iniquity, from our transgressions. We're healed from sin. Hallelujah. Yes, we're healed from sickness and disease. But guess what? You can be healed from sickness and disease and still go to hell. We want to be healed from unrighteousness, from sin. So I offer you that Jesus tonight. He took your sin on the cross. He took his sin and he did away with it. He shed his blood. For you, he shed his blood for me. So I offer you this Jesus. I offer him to you tonight. I offer you to believe in this Jesus. He was born of a virgin. Yes, he was. He grew up at the age of 33. He went to the cross. He died, and then he rose again the third day. He did it for me. He did it for you. So I offer you Jesus tonight. And if you believe anything I said, if you believe the word of God. That's what you got to believe, the word of God, that God sent Jesus into the world, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you believe that tonight, then you can be born again tonight. You're born again if you believe it. For with the mouth, man maketh confession. So say that I believe in this Jesus this woman is talking about. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died, he was crucified, he was wounded, he was bruised for me. I believe. And if you believe that, welcome into the family tonight. Or if you're listening to this in the archives, whenever you're listening, welcome to the family tonight. Now I would ask you to get a Bible, read the Bible, ask the Holy Spirit to teach you how to understand and discern the word of God. It's not by private interpretation. God didn't give us the word to try to get a private interpretation. The word of God is the word of God, and it is what it is. It's real. Be transformed by the word of God, Romans 12:1. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Come out from among them and be separate. And you know, Brother Dennis was on earlier, Pastor Felicia, and he said something to me, and he said something to us, and he said, we ought to be speaking the word of God every day, all day long, every day. And you know, if we did that, a lot of stuff that we do, we wouldn't do. If we would just speak the word of God all day, if we meditate on the word of God, yes, we have to work. Yes, we have things that we have to do. Yes, we're here on this earth. You know, we got to do things, you know, on this earth. But if we would be more tuned into the word of God, some of the stuff we go through, we don't got to go through. There's always going to be something. But if God brought us through then he'll bring us through then. But we need to get in love with the word of God and just begin to know who God is. Those verses that we were speaking on tonight, that we were quoting on tonight, it'll change your life. It'll change your life. Let me tell you something. I thank God for this broadcast tonight. God really came through. The Holy Spirit came through here tonight, and I really thank him for that. I really do. I feel so special. Y'all just don't understand. I feel special. The Holy Spirit would come in and just minister to us like the way he did. That was a new. I told somebody today, I said, I'm looking for God to give me a new anointing.
Hallelujah.
I meant that thing. I'm looking for him to give me a new anointing. I don't care what people say. I want a new anointing. I want a fresh anointing from God.
Mm-hmm.
Not so I can be puffed up and walk around and think I'm the greatest thing since, you know, sliced bread. No, I want a fresh anointing so I can live holy. So I can be separated unto God. That's what I want. So when I walk past people, if they're not healed, they can get healed. When I walk past people, they can get saved because they can feel the anointing of God and say, oh, Lord, I want to be saved. Not because of me, but because of the anointing that destroys the yoke. Yes. I want a fresh anointing. Oh, October 18th, 19th, and 20th in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, we will be having a three-night revival featuring evangelist Barbara Mack from Jacksonville, Florida, 7 p.m. nightly. Mm-hmm. Please join us if you are in the area. Amen. Amen. Thank you. See, that's why we need the Holy Spirit, because these human minds forget things. Good night, everybody. We love you. God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us. If the Lord says the same, we'll be back in on Friday, and we will have Prophetess V as our guest speaker. Amen. God bless you, everybody. Good night.
All right.
This is Brother Dennis Music.